Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. Today's special guest is evangelist Jay Louder. Drawing from personal experience, Jay Louder is committed to reaching those who struggle in everyday life. Let's listen as Jay shares the gospel from an impactful and personal perspective.
Actually, I just put this message together about 3 weeks ago. So it's literally hot off the press. Revelation chapter 22, and you, those of you that have heard me know sometimes we read long passages, and sometimes we'll read two or three verses. This morning, we're only going to read one verse, but we're going to dissect that verse. We're in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Bible says this, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Lord, thank you this morning for the fact that your Spirit is already here. Thank you that during the worship time, Lord, the worship of giving, the worship of the Lord's Supper, the worship of singing, Lord, that your Spirit has already invaded this room. Lord, I pray that you would wash me in the blood of your Son. I pray that you would take this passage of Scripture and, God, that you would drive it down deep in the hearts of everybody here this morning. I pray that you would bring us all into the presence of Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. I was preaching in Belfast when we had a very great crusade. We had hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ. When the crusade was over, I received a Facebook message from a man who said, "Jay, I was invited to the services. I'm a non-Christian. I was moved by what I heard and just wanted you to know that I've heard you're coming back next year. And when you return next year, I'm going to give my life to Jesus." I remember clearly when I read the email because it sent a chill up my spine. I felt an immediate sense of fear for this man. And so instantaneously, sitting there at my desk at my office in downtown, I began to email him back through Facebook. And I said, "Sir, I appreciate the compliment. I'm glad that you want to visit the services when we come back for a larger event. But sir, whatever you do, you don't, number one, you don't need me to deliver the message for you to be saved. And number two, there's no guarantee that I will even live long enough to return to Belfast, and there's no guarantee that you'll live that long. And last but not least, you don't just decide when you're going to give your life to Christ. You can only give your life to Christ when the Spirit of God draws you." And so I sent this long email, into which this man sent a return and said, "You know, I'm not worried about dying. I'm not worried about you dying either. My mind is made up. I want to wait until those services." And no matter what I said, nothing would change it. Well, finally, I showed up in Belfast, got up to preach the first night, and boy, God just moved in a great way. We saw a great number of people come to Christ. And of course, I knew what the man looked like from Facebook, and so instantaneously I was looking out in the crowd of those that had given their lives to Christ, really looking for his face. I didn't see it. Well, at the end, I went back to our book table, and people were saying hello, and we were visiting, and the man came up, and I said to him, "Sir, were you one of the people who came forward this morning to give your life to Christ?" And he said, no, we've got all week long. You're preaching 8 days, but I know this is the week." And I said, "Sir, you cannot delay. You must give your life to Christ. You don't even have to wait till tomorrow night. Right here, right now, you and I together can pray together, and you can put your faith in Christ." And he said, "Jay, I've got all week. I'm in no rush." I was so fearful because I've seen what can happen in someone's life when they continue to push away God. And the services went on, and night after night, it seemed as though there were, I mean, this is a church that holds 4,000 people, but it seemed as if every night when I got up to speak, I was looking for his face. And during the service, all I could really was zone in on him. It was really, to me, almost as though I was only speaking to this man. And several nights, he kept coming up to me at the book table, or he'd wink at me and wave as he walked by. It got to the second to last night, and he came up, and he said, "Jay, tomorrow night's the night." Man, that afternoon, I prayed and asked God to bring this man to Christ. That night was our final night. Man, it was a blowout service. I mean, the Spirit of God showed up, and it was just a mighty move of the Lord, and so many lives were changed, young people, old people, people from different races and colors. But he wasn't one of those people. I was back at the book table when he and his wife got up to me. She was literally sobbing so much, it was almost as though she were gasping for air. He came up to me, and he said, "Jay, you know I didn't come forward." He said, I'm sorry that I've not given my life to Christ. He said, "I have put off receiving Jesus so long that it seems as though I have lost my desire. I don't feel that sensitivity to Christ that I once felt. It's as though my heart is like concrete, and I don't even think I want to be saved." I'll never forget that man walking away. Obviously, I'm no man's judge. And my hope and prayer is that at some point that man will come to know the Lord. But to be frank and honest with you this morning, when he walked away from me, I sensed in my spirit that for that man, he had sinned away his day of grace. He had pushed God away so long. The invitation that he had received night after night after night, month after month after month, the Holy Spirit invited him to come to Christ. And I believe when he walked away that he had said no to that invitation so long that his heart had become set against God. I'll never forget it. Well, this morning here in Revelation chapter 22, it's like the climax of a great movie. It's the crescendo of a great orchestra. It's the summit of Mount Everest. Here we are at the close of the Bible. Those of you that come to church regularly or you listen to speakers, you know that when they get to the end of their message, they're trying to drive home a point. When you watch a movie, it culminates at the end, and there's this climactic time where all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, and this one central focus, this one central theme is pressed upon the people. Well, here in Revelation, Jesus is giving to John what is known as the final revelation. It's Jesus telling John those final things that are going to be spoken that are going to one day become the close of our Bible. And so it's literally as though the preceding 65 books are like the arrow and the fletching. And then we get to Revelation, this one verse, and it's like the razor tip sharp point of an arrow. With all 65 books pushing the point of this arrow down deep into the heart of man. It's the sum of the entire Bible. It's in essence the entire Bible wrapped up in this one culminating time. And it's Jesus giving his last invitation. It's Jesus, before he closes out the book, his final plea to the people to come to him for salvation. It's in essence, it's everything that Jesus really ever said, all wrapped up in one. You know, there's been many invitations throughout the scriptures. I can think of the invitation that was given to Joseph, an invitation to sleep with that seductive wife of Potiphar's. There was an invitation given to Job to curse God and die, even his own wife. There was an invitation to Daniel to worship a false god, ended up in a lion's den. There was an invitation to one of Jesus' 12, Judas, to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Matter of fact, there was even an invitation to Jesus Christ himself from the devil to bow down and worship him. So we see in Scripture there are invitations all throughout. But this morning what we see here is this final invitation of Christ. I don't know about you, but there's just something about knowing that the finality of something. There's something about being notified by someone to take advantage of this certain opportunity, because there's a limited window, there's limited space, limited time. I think about as we come up on the holidays, and some of you will be out on Black Friday. Some of you will even start before Friday, and you'll go out there Thursday. And how people are just in this mad dash to get while supposedly the getting is good. Well, the first thing that we see in this last invitation as we look at it is Jesus invites people who are thirsty. I wonder this morning, is that you? I'm reminded of a verse in John 7, 37 through 39, where Jesus said, I'm the living water. He says, he that comes to me will never thirst. He says, out of the innermost being shall flow rivers. Let me quote it to you. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, by this he spoke of the Holy Spirit that they that believe on him were to receive. I believe within the heart of every individual, and I found this to be true whether I'm in San Antonio, Texas, or whether I'm in Alaska or New York, or whether I'm overseas, that down deep in the heart of every individual, whether they be a teenager or a mom or a dad or a grandmother or a grandfather, that down deep in the heart of everyone, there's a thirst. I believe that within all of us, there's a vacuum. And so many of us, we spend our entire life trying to find different things to satisfy that inner thirst. Many people don't realize that thirst that they have is for Christ. And so they try to fill it with drugs, or they try to fill it with alcohol or pleasure, or they try to fill it with success or money or notoriety. There are numerous different things, and you can see this in the daily newspaper. You can turn on the television. There is a world of people that are searching for something. And so I ask you this morning, what is it you're searching for? No matter who you are this morning, there's a thirst in your life. What is it that you're thirsty for? Are you thirsty for someone to just accept you? Maybe you're a teenager and you feel like you don't fit in at school and you just wish someone would accept you. Maybe you're a single person. Maybe your thirst is to find a mate. You want to be married and you haven't found the right person. Or maybe you're thirsting for companionship. Maybe it's pleasure. Maybe you're thirsty for pornography, or it could be drugs. I don't know what it is, but I ask you this morning, what is it that you're thirsty for? Because Christ wants you to be thirsty for Him. He wants to be that you seek for. And I can tell you tonight, as someone who regrettably has made a lot of mistakes and it's gotten involved in a lot of things over the years, that there has never been anything, and this is not preacher talk, there has never been anything that has brought me the joy or the satisfaction or the fulfillment that Jesus Christ has. And again, that's not just something that's said. I can tell you honestly that's what's true within my heart. Are you thirsty this morning? And what is it you're thirsty for? Because nothing will ever bring the satisfaction that Christ will bring. And so Jesus, this morning, no matter who you are, He issues an invitation to know Him. It's not just an invitation to go to church on Sunday. It's not just an invitation to be part of a Christian club or a social club, or an invitation to be a part of a certain religion or denomination. It's an invitation to be best friends with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's an invitation to have a new mindset. It's an invitation to have a new heart. It's an invitation to have a new marriage. It's an invitation, and God knows, who doesn't want a new beginning this morning? No matter who you are. Who doesn't want a new beginning? I want a new beginning. And that's the invitation that Christ gives. And all throughout Scripture, Jesus is issuing invitations. Maybe this morning you're hungry. You remember what Jesus said in John 6:35? He said, I am the bread of life. And he that comes to me will never hunger. And he that comes to me will never thirst. Maybe this morning it's not hunger. Maybe this morning you feel like maybe it's darkness. You feel like you're in darkness. Well, Jesus gives an invitation to you in John 8:12. He said, I'm the light of the world, and he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He gives an invitation to those who are outsiders in John 10:9, when he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He gives an invitation to people who are looking for leadership. In John 10:11, when he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives an invitation to those who are dead. Because there's some of us here this morning that even though we're breathing, we're walking dead men. And he invites those who are dead. In John 11:25, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He gives an invitation this morning. Many of you, maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you're on a quest for truth. I believe every heart is looking for love and every mind is looking for truth. And maybe that's you. And Jesus issues an invitation to you in John 14:6 when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He issues an invitation to people who feel disconnected. You remember John 15:5 when he said, I am the vine. I am the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much good fruit because without me you can do nothing. He gives an invitation to people who are looking for a new beginning and a promised future. When he said in Revelation 21:6, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Listen to his invitation this morning. If he were to stand on the platform this morning, what Jesus Christ would say, no matter what your plea is, no matter what your thirst, no matter what your hunger, no matter what your issue, he would say, I am. I've got marriage problems. He would say, I am. I've got money problems. He would say, I am. I've got an emptiness. I've got struggles with bitterness. I've got addictions that I can't break. I've got family problems that I can't solve. I've got issues in my mind that I can't get rid of. I've got chains that have locked me down. And no matter what it is, he would say, just as he said in the 8 or 10 verses I just quoted you, I am. Many of us, we think we have a money problem or a marriage problem or a addiction problem. But the truth of it is we have a God problem. Because if we'll come to Christ and get right with the Lord and allow him and his spirit to fill us up, we'll have the power to overcome all these things and be delivered because Jesus Christ will live in us. Good night. That's good news. That's great news this morning. That no matter who you are, and I've stood before the richest of the rich. I've stood before the famous. I've stood before the homeless. I've stood before just about every race, color, and creed. And I've been able to say that no matter how great your sin, the blood of Christ is greater. And no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, you can't be worse than the greatness of the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. That's the plea of Christ this morning. That's one of the things I love about Jesus, and I think that's one of the things that draws me to this church, is because a lot of churches say everybody's welcome, and it's a lie. I'm just being real this morning. It's a lie. That's church talk is all that is. But here, everybody's welcome. And that's the way Christ is. Everybody's welcome. The invitation, Jesus said, you just have to be thirsty. That's it. Are you thirsty this morning? I heard a story years ago, my favorite story probably I've ever heard. There's a preacher by the name of Tony. And Tony was traveling to Hawaii to preach. And there's a big time change, like we'll be going through this next week in Alaska. And he was in Hawaii. And when he checked in his hotel, he noticed this greasy diner across the street. And when he couldn't sleep, he went to that diner about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was sitting there eating breakfast. And about 3:15, this thing was just packed with prostitutes that were coming in. And there was these two women that were sitting in the booth facing where Tony was, and he overheard one prostitute say to the other, you do know tomorrow's my birthday, to which the other hooker said, what do you want me to do? Sing you a song and bake you a cake? To which the prostitute, now listen to this, said, I could only wish somebody would bake me a cake because in my entire life, I don't ever remember having a birthday cake. Boy, does that sting your heart this morning? It stung Tony's too. Finally, all those this diner packed up with the prostitutes, they all left, and Tony went up to this greasy-haired guy, this chef, and he said, "Hey, man," he said, "I was just wondering, do all those hookers come in every night at the same time?" He said, "Yeah, they're every night." He said, "They pretty much cut off their shifts at 3, and they're in here about 3:15. They're here every night." He said, "Listen, could I pay you?" And he rounded up a couple of those waitresses. He said, "Can I pay you guys, decorate the place up, and ask the chef? The chef would bake a cake." And they said, we'll do that. And so the next night, Tony got there early. And sure enough, the chef had baked that cake. They had streamers hanging and balloons. And at 3:15, when those prostitutes began to walk in the door, when this one lady in particular came in, they began to sing, "Happy birthday to you." Tony said that literally she was crying so hard she could not blow out the candles without the help of her prostitute friend. The chef got the knife out and was about to cut her cake, and she said, "Do we have to cut the cake? Because I would like to just be able to keep it and take it home. I've never had a birthday cake before." To which the chef said, "Well, it's your cake. You can do whatever you want to do with it." Finally, the celebration was about to end, and Tony asked this group of prostitutes and the waitresses that had dressed everything up, and the chef said, "Would it be okay if we just got in a circle and prayed together?" And this greasy-haired chef turned to Tony and said, "You didn't tell me you were a preacher." And the next statement, listen to what he said. "You didn't tell me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" To which Tony replied, "I belong to the kind of church that bakes cakes for prostitutes." Man, the invitation this morning is open to everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Now, the second thing we see in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, "Let him who is thirsty come." And then notice the next thing that he says in verse 17. Boy, I love this. He said, "Whoever desires, let him come." Did you hear that this morning? Jesus said, "Whoever." No matter who you are, whoever. Now, who does whoever mean? Whoever means whoever. You don't need a doctorate in Greek or Hebrew to understand who is encompassed in whoever. Whomsoever, anybody, anywhere. That's great news this morning. Whosoever will. Now, you got to be thirsty. But whosoever. So I remember that passage in Scripture. You remember in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to hell, destruction. And many there are which go in that gate." Now listen, verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few that be that find it." So Jesus drew this analogy, and he said there's two gates. He said there's a wide gate that many, more people go through, and then there's this narrow gate, and Jesus said few people go through that. But I want to make it clear this morning that even though the gate is narrow, which leads to eternal life, the invitation is as wide. It's Grand Canyon wide. It's wider than that. Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come to Christ." Well, somebody might say, "Boy, I tell you what, when you're an evangelist like I am and you travel around and you're preaching the gospel, man, you hear a lot of excuses." And it almost seems crazy that I stand up all over the world and ask people this question: are you willing to receive the invitation of Christ? It seems almost absurd. And I stand here before you this morning, and I pose the question to you, not to the people sitting next to you, not your mom, not your dad, not your friends. Are you willing to receive, to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ? Some people say, "Well, I hear all these excuses." Some say, "Well, I don't understand everything. But the invitation is not whosoever understands. We were in Haiti about 8-9 weeks ago. My 11-year-old son sitting on the front row. I gave the invitation. My son was the very first person in this huge outdoor crusade in Haiti. The very first person. My son actually made a profession of faith a couple of years ago. And my son came forward during the invitation, and rather than standing facing me like people normally do, my son was standing there in front of this huge crowd of people just like this. And I was on the platform going, what is he doing? I mean, my son had already been baptized. And so when I got done preaching, I said, son, what's going on? This is my 11-year-old I'm talking about. He said, Dad, when I heard the message tonight, I realized that when I prayed that prayer a few years ago, I didn't really understand what I was doing. Dad, I've never really been saved. The Holy Spirit told me I wasn't saved. And Daddy, I want to come forward and accept Jesus. Now, does my son understand everything in the Bible? No, I don't either. And neither do you. The invitation is not whoever understands. The invitation is whoever will. Sometimes I hear people say, boy, I hear this one a lot. Well, I feel I'm not ready. I was in Houston a couple of weeks ago, and this young guy about 16 years of age, he said, well, I just don't feel anything. I said, but the invitation is not to whoever feels something. The invitation is whosoever will come. It's not about feelings. It's about a willingness to say yes to the invitation. Some people say to me, well, you know, Jay, I'd like to accept the invitation from Christ, but I can't live the life. Guess what? You're right. You can't live the life. But the Spirit of God living in you can enable you to live the life. You don't have, Jesus doesn't leave you to live the life on your own. Some people say, well, I can't receive the invitation because I'm not worthy. You know what? You are absolutely correct. You're not worthy. And neither is anybody else. But the invitation is not whoever understands. The invitation's not whoever's worthy. The invitation's not whoever feels something. The invitation is whosoever will. And the invitation is open to all. You remember Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Remember 1 Timothy 1:15? This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Acts 4:12, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 16:30-31, sir, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Hebrews 5:8, just popped in my mind. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, the guttermost, that come unto God through him. It's whosoever's willing. You know, everybody likes an invitation. I've been married long enough to know that my wife sometimes gets her feelings hurt when she doesn't get invitations to things that she doesn't even want to go to. Oh, women are laughing because they know. Strange. Everybody wants to be invited. Let me read to you this quote that I read from Marilyn Monroe the other day. Odd, this iconic figure, everybody knows who she is, and she said this. She said, my whole life seems like it has been nothing but one big rejection. You see, many of us have been rejected so long that it's taught us how to reject. Gone with the Wind, that iconic film, rejected 38 times before somebody said yes. For the younger audience, Harry Potter, rejected 12 times before somebody said yes. And many of you in the audience this morning, you have felt the sting of rejection. Some of you, it started when you were born. I was talking to a girl the other day, last week, that was delivered from the pornography industry. And she said, Jay, my mother told me from the time I was a little girl, she wished I'd never been born. Many of us Hey, let me say something to you this morning. Not only do you not like being rejected, Jesus Christ doesn't like to be rejected. Have you rejected him? Was there ever a time in your life when you put your faith in Christ and repented of your sin? Was there ever a time that you moved beyond just the intellectual belief and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ and moved to the place where you were willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has Jesus changed your life? Talking about rejection, I want to read to you this clip that I got the other day. In April of last year, a 16-year-old Connecticut honor student named Marion Sanchez was repeatedly stabbed to death. This was national news. By a classmate in the hallways of her own school, after she rejected a classmate's invitation to take her to the prom. You know, there's something about rejection that can make a heart turn so hard. That's why I told you that story about that man in Ireland. He had rejected Christ so long that his heart had become so darkened. You see, every time you say no to Christ, it becomes easier and easier each step of the way to continue to say no to Christ. Some of you, even as believers, you didn't reject him unto salvation. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to one day spend eternity in heaven. But you're rejecting his rule and authority in many areas of your life this morning. And you've wandered away from God. And you're not right with the Lord. Oh, yes, you've been saved. But your heart is resistant to Christ. And there are others of you that are here this morning. Your mother prayed for you. Your grandmother prayed for you. Your own wife or husband prayed for you. Your mother and father had prayed for you. And you've been saying no to Christ. You've been delaying and putting off knowing the Lord, knowing full well that Christ is calling you. And let me just say to you this morning, and I want you to hear me clearly. None of us knows the day or the hour, but one day we will all stand before this once crucified Christ who now sits on a throne as a resurrected ruling king. And you will give an account for every sermon you've ever heard. You will give an account for being here in this church this Sunday and what you did with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I wonder what you would say to the Lord if you die without Jesus. I wonder what you would say to Christ when he would say, you remember that Sunday down at the church there in San Antonio? When you heard the gospel, when my spirit convicted you, when you were told to get right with me, but yet you said no. You gave your excuses. I'll wait till I'm another time in my life. I'll wait till I finish high school or college or get married or quit doing drugs or get rid of my addiction. And you gave all these excuses. What will you say to Christ then? Because one day we will all have to give an answer. Hey, let me make something clear this morning. There is no polite way to say no to Jesus Christ. There is no polite way to reject the Son of God. And although you may be saying, well, Jay, I would never be disrespectful. I would never dishonor Jesus. When you tell him no and you reject his invitation to allow him to reign and rule in your life, listen to me. You are sticking your fist in the face of God Almighty. And you are, in essence, saying by what you call your gentle rebuke, you are saying to Jesus, I don't want you in my life. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Hebrews 12:25, see that you don't refuse him who speaks. Hebrews 3:7-8, how can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? There is no polite way. Imagine, I can think this morning that if you got an invitation from one of the San Antonio Spurs, I know how crazy y'all are about the Spurs. If you got in the mail tomorrow an invitation from Tim Duncan, if you got a, Tony, good Lord, where am I coming from? Tim Duncan, or even retired David Robinson, or Coach Pop sent you an invitation and you opened it up and they invited you over for supper,
or front row seats to a game, man, you'd be Facebooking and Twittering and calling everybody in your family bragging about this invitation you got. And I don't care what you had going on. If you were getting married that day, you'd probably postpone your wedding so you could go hang out with David or Tim or Pop or Ginobili or Parker. You wouldn't think of saying no to that invitation. And yet Christ beckons you from a blood-stained cross, and you say, I'm not ready. It's a serious thing. You won't hear this verse quoted very much. Hebrews 10:31, let it sink down deep in your heart. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, don't take lightly your rejection of Christ. We've got to wrap this thing up. The third and final thing that we see in this passage of Scripture here. Jesus first says that the invitation is to those who are thirsty. The next thing he says is the invitation is to whoever, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. But that's not enough. Jesus closes this final invitation because he says there's something that goes beyond being thirsty. You've got to come and take it. Do you know over 2,000 times in Scripture, God invites people to come to him? I have verses that just automatically pop in my mind. Verses like Mark 1:17, come after me and I'll make you become fishers of men. I think about that verse in Luke 9. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not enough to just be aware of it. It's not enough to just be thirsty. The Bible says that you have to come and take the invitation. There's an invitation for you to do something. Because faith without works is dead. Would you come to Christ this morning? Would you receive his invitation? Because you know the invitation this morning is not to a crowd of people. The invitation is to every individual. The invitation is to you. It's not you and your wife or you and your high school friends or you and your mom and dad. The invitation is to you. And only you can make a decision about what you will do with that invitation. It's yours to accept or it's yours to decline. But I want you to understand this morning, you have been warned. The invitation has been issued, but the door will not always be open. The Bible says God's Spirit does not always strive with man. Romans chapter 1 tells us that there can come a place when someone rejects God so long that God gives them up. God gives them over. No, they can't point their bony finger at God and blame God. No, it's they rejected God for so long. God finally said, okay, I'll give you up to your own ways. You don't want me. You don't want my son. I emptied my bank account. I let my son be murdered for you, and you don't want my son. I'll give you up to your own ways. What will you do with the invitation to come to Christ? I'll close with this. I was in Houston 3 weeks ago. First time I'd ever preached this message. We had 400 plus people make commitments to Christ there. It was just an unbelievable, unbelievable crusade. I had been preaching Monday night. There was a man out in the audience, a good man, a man who knew the Lord, a man who had been on staff at this mega church in Houston for years. After the services were over, and by the way, this man, no sickness, had no medical records of any trouble. This is two or three weeks ago. He left our services that night, was on his way home, felt a pain in his chest. And the pain was great enough that he knew that he better get to an emergency room. So rather than driving home, he drove to the emergency room. He got out of his car, made it into the entryway of the emergency room in H-Town,
and drop dead on the spot of a massive heart attack. He stood out in the audience just like you do this morning. He had no way of knowing that that night he was going to stand before Jesus Christ. Now, granted, he was a believer, no doubt about it. They say he's one of the godliest people. But just a reminder to me, you never know what a day can bring. David said in Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end, that I may know the measure of my days. Jesus' half-brother James said in James 4:14 that your life is like a vapor. David said in Psalms 144, verse 4, man's days are like a shadow that appear for a little while and then vanish away. It's the last invitation of Christ. What will you do? Let's bow. But bow your heads and close your eyes. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask nobody to get up and move. And I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for one simple reason. Because I don't want you to be distracted by what anybody anywhere else is doing. There's nothing mystical, nothing magical about asking you to do that. Just for a moment, I want you to zero in on where you stand with Christ. Was there a time in your life when you heard the gospel? When the Holy Spirit of God arrested you for the murder of Jesus and you were convicted of your sin and you realized that it was your sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross? Was there a time that you heard the gospel message and you knew that the only way for you to be forgiven of your sin was to not just in your mind believe in Jesus, but to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by your own willingness to turn away from your sin to receive Christ? Could you say this morning, right where you're seated, Jay, there's not a doubt in my mind. Jesus Christ lives in me. I have said yes to his invitation. And the King of Kings lives in my life. I know in Houston 3 weeks ago, we had a 72-year-old man, 28-year member of the church, who came forward and when he was baptized that night said, I am so sick and tired of trying to earn my way to heaven. I know in Houston, in that same service 3 weeks ago, we had a choir member who said, you know what? I doubted my salvation in high school, but I was worried what the youth group would think. I doubted my salvation when I got to college, but I was worried about what my classmates would think. We joined the church. I joined the choir. I was worried what the choir members would think, but I can't take it anymore. And so this morning, I'm coming forward to give my life to Christ. How about you? Can you say that you know Jesus Christ lives in you? Not because you have belonged to some church, not because you've been baptized or confirmed or went through catechism, or the Holy Eucharist. No, you know that Jesus lives in you because you received Christ and repented of your sins. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd say, Jay, I know Jesus lives inside of me. If that's you, just lift your hand, but don't lift it if you don't know it. Just raise it up high. If you could say, Jay, I know. I know without a doubt Christ lives in me. You may put your hands down. Maybe like my son, just a matter of weeks ago in Haiti. Maybe like the choir member in Houston or the old man that donated all the money to the church. You'd say, at one time I thought I was a Christian, but this morning I have my doubts. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand because you'd say, you know, Jay, I've never truly said yes to the invitation. Maybe even when you were a kid, you prayed a sinner's prayer that you didn't understand. I don't know what the reason might be. But I know this morning there are many of you who just now couldn't raise your hand to say, I know that Jesus Christ lives in me. While nobody's looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to humiliate you. But I do want to say a prayer over you. Because I know there are many, many in the audience who couldn't raise their hand. If that was you and you'd say, Jay, I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago, I don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Jay, I can't say that I know for sure that I have truly said yes to his invitation. Jay, pray for me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand up while nobody's looking around? And raise it up high, would you? Just raise it up high. There's many of you. Just raise it up high. There's many of you. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just keep it up for just a minute. There's hands all over the auditorium. People of all ages. Are there others? Jay, I just don't know for sure. Maybe at one time you thought you were a Christian. Maybe you go to church every week. Maybe you never go. Are there others? Quickly, raise your hand and say, Jay, pray for me. I just don't know for sure. I can't say that. I know that I know Jesus Christ lives in me. Are there others? Anybody else? Quickly. Hands all over this auditorium. Anybody else? Quickly, quickly. You may put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. I can say honestly, no exaggeration, I honestly think there was somebody that raised their hand in every section. People all over, dozens of people have just raised their hand. While every head still bowed and every eye still closed, the several dozen of you that just raised your hand that said, Jay, I don't know for sure, would you just lift your head and look right this way at me? If you raised your hand as one of those people that said, Jay, I'm just not sure. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. Again, I'm not gonna embarrass you or anything. There's people all over this auditorium. The only people I'm asking to look this way are people who just raised their hand and said, Jay, I'm just not sure. Only those people. Just lift your head and look right this way. I'm doing my best to make eye contact with you. It's very difficult because there's literally dozens of you. Those of you that have your head raised and you're looking at me, I have a question for you this morning. I know that you know that verse in John 3:16 that says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But you know what the next verse says? It says, God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. Now listen to this last verse. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he believed not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those of you that have your heads raised, I've been in your shoes. I was in a service just like this when God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit helped me understand that even though I was very religious, I was very lost. I want to ask you a quick question before I pray for you. Will you receive not the invitation of some preacher from North Texas? Will this morning you receive the invitation of Christ? Would this morning you be willing to say yes to Christ? If you would you just nod your head visibly where I can see it? Yes, I want to receive the invitation of Christ. If you would just nod your head visibly where I can see it. It's impossible to just nod your head where I can see it. Yes, Jay, I'll say yes to the invitation. Will you do it? Just nod your head if you will. This is what we're going to do this morning. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, if any man is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, now listen, I'm quoting this verbatim, of him also will I be ashamed when I come in my Father's glory. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to give you the privilege to go public. Publicly, when I gave my life to my wife, I did it publicly when I got married. I was proud to say, I'm giving my life to this woman. I'm going to give you the privilege to go public this morning. And just in a second, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask that when I say amen, that you get out from where you are seated and you would come join me right here at the front. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. I'm going to invite you to come forward, and together we're going to pray and ask Christ. You're going to receive Christ. You're going to receive the invitation. When you come forward, we're going to pray together, and you're going to meet Jesus. There are literally, there's got to be 60, 70 people, at least. When I say amen, I'm going to ask you to get out from where you're seated. You say, well, Jay, gosh, you know, that's a difficult thing to do in front of all these people. But you know what? It was a difficult thing for Jesus to be crucified publicly. And to be quite honest with you, if you can't stand up in church, I really doubt whether you'll ever stand up at school or your job or work. So I'm going to ask that when I say amen, don't wait to see who's coming. You may have brought a friend with you this morning, and you might turn to them and say, I'll go with you. It might be just the courage that they need. So when I pray, don't, you've been giving God excuses long enough. You've been giving excuses as to why you haven't received the invitation long enough. This morning, just get up from where you're seated. Come join me here at the front. Stand facing me. We won't be here long. And we're going to pray together. And you're going to meet Jesus. Your salvation, you're going to get it nailed down and secure. When I say amen, don't wait to see who's coming. Just get up from where you're seated. It's not going to be easy. Maybe people you got to kind of push out of the way on your aisle. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the literally many, many people in this audience that you have spoken to. God, would you give them the courage by your Spirit? Lord, I know that the enemy right now is trying to get them to delay the invitation. Another service, another day, another week, another month. Spirit of God, would you give them the courage to take a stand this morning? Spirit of God, would you remove all the excuses? In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, right now. Don't wait. Just come on, make a move. Just come on and stand here at the front facing me. Don't wait, just come on. I'm going to ask those of you in the audience, would you just be in a spirit of prayer right now? Those of you in the audience. People are still coming. Those of you at the front, if you would, why don't you just bow your heads for a moment? We're going to pray together in a second. But until we pray together, those of you at the front, would you just bow your head and close your eyes and you begin to talk to the Lord in your own words, asking Him to forgive you. Asking the Lord to heal you, to set you free. Just your own words. You just, in a minute, we're going to pray together. But until then, you just begin to confess to the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. You know, there are others of you in the audience. Do we have a singer back here, buddy? Can you sing that you on the piano yet, or do you just play? I don't mean that hateful. Was that hateful? Okay, come on, sing, hurry. Now listen, everybody in the audience, stand up. Everybody in the audience, stand up quickly. My brother's going to sing in just a second. You know, there's a lot of you still out there. There's a whole lot more of you that raised your hands. Would you allow pride this morning to keep you from receiving the greatest invitation that's ever been given? If you are willing to stand for Christ, it may be that your wife or your husband or somebody else on your row might. There are still many of you who say, Jay, I don't understand everything. You know what? I don't either, but I understand this. That Jesus Christ this morning wants to come in your life and forgive you. My friend's going to sing one verse. Amazing grace is good enough. If you brought somebody, you again, you might turn to them and say, I'll go with you. Christians in the audience, would you pray? Because there are still many who need to come. As he sings, Amazing Grace. You at the front, just continue praying, talking to the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
As the piano softly plays, those of you at the front, just look right this way at me. Many of you, like me, you've heard the gospel a million times. I was 21 years of age when I accepted Christ. My parents took me to church all the time. I knew it here, I just never known it here. And that night at 21 years of age is when I realized, even though I knew it in my head, I'd never received it in my heart. And that night I said yes to the invitation. You know the gospel. The gospel is your sin and my sin murdered Christ. You know that God can't tolerate sin. And that blood had to be shed so we could be forgiven. And rather than allowing us to serve the penalty of our sin, Jesus said, I'll take it. He was literally slaughtered. There's no other way to put it. He was butchered. On Dead Man's Hill, because of you and me. He died. He didn't go into a coma. He was killed, and he was buried. All of hell rejoiced. 3 days later, God raised him back to life. And he's here right now. There's no other God but him. There's a lot of pretenders, a lot of posers. But he's the only God that says, I will live inside of you. And so what he says is this. Romans 10:13. You could just sum up the entire gospel in this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:9 says this. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I'm quoting this verse. And believe in your heart, not your head, it doesn't say that. It says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved from judgment, saved from hell, saved from your sin, and given eternal life. No, not just a ticket to heaven, a new beginning. Jesus will come and live inside of you. So since he told us to call on his name and confess with our mouth, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me. And I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You see, the Bible never says you're saved by praying a prayer. The Bible says you are saved by calling on Christ. But that's one of the ways that we do it. There are still probably another 20, 25 of you in the audience that raise your hand that need to be up here. But I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud with me. Not putting your faith in the prayer, but putting your faith in Christ. Maybe you're out in the audience and you didn't raise your hand for anything, but you want Jesus Christ to save you, and you can pray this out loud. Whether you're on the back row, you can pray that with those up here at the front. If you want Christ to be your Lord and Savior. So those of you at the front, just pray this out loud with me. Say, Dear God, I pray in Jesus' name. I admit that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. I want you to forgive me. I'm thankful that you died for me. I believe that you love me. I believe, Jesus, that you rose from the grave. You said if I would call on you. You said if I would believe in my heart. That you would forgive me. That you would give me eternal life. and that you would save me. So right now, at this moment, I receive you, Jesus. I turn from my sin by your power, and I come to you. Jesus Christ, come in my life, because I receive you now. I want to follow you in baptism. I want to make a stand for you. I want to help build your kingdom. With every head still bowed and every eye still closed, if you are anywhere in this building and you just prayed a prayer, not to pray a prayer, but to receive Christ as your Savior, whether you're at the front or out of the audience, would you lift your hand up high? If you just prayed this prayer to receive Christ anywhere in this building, raise your hand up high. Even if you're in the audience, you just prayed and said, I just invited Jesus Christ into my life. I'm asking every single one of you in the audience that just prayed that prayer with us to get up from where you're standing and come join us right now. Because the Spirit of God will give you the power that you may not have had a few minutes ago to stand. If you just pray that prayer, no matter where you're at, those in the audience, I want you to come join us as your way of saying, that's right. You know, oftentimes we'll see what we just saw. About another 25, 30 people came forward, because I remember that night when I prayed. You can put your hands down. I remember that night that I prayed. I had the enemy telling me all these, man, you can't quit drinking. You're an alcoholic. You can't stop. And I was fearful of making that stand. But what we just saw happen, we see happen a lot, because many of you didn't have the courage a while ago to come forward and make that stand. But once you prayed and the Spirit of God came inside of you, you had a power you didn't have 5 minutes ago. Now, I'm about to turn this over to Pastor David, because those of you that come up the front, we're going to take just a minute and pray with you. It's not going to take long. We're not asking for money or anything. I just want to pray with you real quick. But there's one other thing we got to square away before we end this service. In Houston 3 weeks ago, and I don't want to exaggerate the numbers, but there were dozens and dozens of people that were baptized. Many of those people who were baptized were people who just prayed to receive Christ. Some of them grew up in church. Some of them had been confirmed. Some of them had been through catechism, confirmation, sprinkle, whatever. Do you know also many of those people that got baptized were people who were confirmed or christened or sprinkled and got saved after that and were never scripturally baptized? We had some people that came to get baptized in Houston that had already been baptized in a Baptist or church, whatever, before they were saved. That's not real baptism. There's only one scriptural baptism, and that happens after you receive Christ. I have been dunked in the water three times, but never been baptized until after I got saved at 21. Final night of the crusade, I said, how many of you don't have your baptism on the right side of the cross? Final night of the crusade, you can call the pastor and ask him this. How many of you in the audience really have never got your baptism in the right order? Meaning you got saved and you were immersed under the water after you received Christ. And about 25 hands went up. Many of them were choir members. We had deacons. We had people of all kinds. So I want to ask a question before we close the service. How many of you in the audience have never got your baptism on the right side of the cross? Meaning, you were baptized after you got saved. I know this doesn't apply to those of you at the front, because you're going to be baptized. But those of you in the audience, how many of you, raise your hand up. My baptism's not on the right side of the cross in the audience. Raise it up high. Not those of you at the front. I'm talking about these people out there. How many in the audience? Do this. My baptism's not on the right side of the cross. I'm saved, but maybe you got baptized before. My Lord. David, I'm asking those of you that, there's about 10 of you that just raised your hands, that don't have your baptism on the right side of the cross, get out from where you're standing and come stand right here on the side, right over here. Come on. There's about 10 of you. Don't just come on. Just come on. And I want you to do is stand right over here behind David. Come on, there's about 10 of you. You're saved, you're going to heaven, but your baptism is on the right side of the cross. I want you to just come stand right over here, right behind David. There's about 10, maybe 12 of you. Maybe more than that. People are still coming. Let these folks make their way through. My Lord, this is awesome. This is awesome. My Lord. We still got people coming. Anybody else? Say, yeah, I don't have, my baptism's not right. That's the first step of obedience. What you guys is, that's awesome. I know we're running. Give me 60 seconds. I got saved at 21. I'd prayed the sinner's prayer like I told y'all about 3 times, but never been saved. Went through the motions, but never been saved. When I got saved at 21, first thing my mom said to me is, well, Jay, you going to get baptized? And I said, I'm not doing that. I've already done it 3 times. My mom said, well, no, you've never been scripturally baptized because you went under the water before you were saved. I said, Mom, I've already done that 3 times. I'm not doing it again. Christmas Eve. I was saved in April. Christmas Eve, I was in the shower, and I said, God, and I want y'all to hear this too because, you know, y'all need to get, every one of y'all need to get baptized. Now listen to this. This is a true story. Christmas Eve, I was in the shower, and I said, God, I want to reach people. I want my life to count. I want you to open up doors for me to preach. And, Lord, why aren't you doing it? And I heard the Lord say, not in my ears, but in my heart, because you haven't obeyed me. I was standing in the shower. I said, haven't obeyed you. Wait a minute here. Let me remind you. I gave up my fiance. Not only did I break it off of my fiance for you, I have lost every friend that I had, all my old drinking alcoholic buddies. I mean, I've given up everything. And in my heart, I heard the Lord say, just clear as a bell, you haven't obeyed me because you haven't been baptized yet. I'm like, but Lord, I've done this 3 times. I don't want to do all that again. And I just felt the Lord saying again, not in my ear, I didn't hear a voice, but in my heart, Jay, until you take the first step of obedience and get your baptism right, I can't bless you. That next Sunday, I went and told my pastor the story. I said, I'm getting baptized this Sunday. I don't care if it has to happen in a sink. This is going to happen. I'm getting this thing done. I was baptized that Sunday. It had taken me April, May, June, July. It had taken me 9 months. That's a mistake, but it took me 9 months to get baptized. And this is what happened. My pastor, after he baptized me, said, Jay, you know what? I'm going to Dallas tomorrow to an evangelism conference. Would you like to go with me? You call Morris Chapman. You ask him if this is a made-up story. The next morning, I went to Dallas, Texas. The only reason I got invited, because I was at church that night, because I got baptized, and the Lord told my pastor to invite me. I met that morning the man who God used to get me into full-time evangelism. Now, you see what the Lord did? As soon as I was willing to fully obey him, boy, he opened up the doors of blessing. And so I praise God not only for those of you that pray to receive Christ, but I'm just as excited for those of you that may have known the Lord for years or decades. David, tell us.
Amen. Amen. We're proud of you. And you've done the right thing. The devil will say, you're an idiot, you're a fool. Jesus would never talk to you like that.
Amen.
Because you've taken the steps toward him. Somebody has moved into you. It's not about how can I be holy? How can I quit stuff? How can I start doing stuff? When you open the door and receive Jesus into your heart, it wasn't a list of rules that came in. It's a person who came in. Now this afternoon, when you have a chance to get away from here, I'm going to be praying, Lord, just will you make your presence known in these hearts. And when on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching and the others were preaching, and it says that they got convicted in their hearts, like you felt when Jay was talking. This is me, and I'm wrong, and I've never received the invitation, but I want to receive the invitation, and I do, and you've responded. They started to say, what do we do? Now that we know we need to receive the Lord, and just a couple of things. Repent, turn away from the way you've been living, receive Jesus, and then they said, be baptized. God knows it helps us to drive a stake down by doing something in the natural. It's a spiritual transaction, but something in the natural. It's like that wedding ring right there. If all I've got holding me to Shirley is the power of a wedding band, I don't have much holding me to her. But it's a symbol in the natural of something that's strong in my spirit. There's nothing magic about the water, but there's something powerful about you doing something in the natural that says, I mean this. I'm putting a ring on it. I'm putting a ring on it. It doesn't, as Jay said, it doesn't mean anything if it happens before you receive Jesus. Because the symbol is, it's a picture of the old person dying, put under the water, raised up out of the water. It's a picture of the new person that you are now, that Jesus is in you. So it says, we will walk now, live now in newness of life. It's a picture of a newness of life. It is the, as he said, it is the first step of obedience after you've given your heart to Jesus. This evening at 6:00, right here, we're going to be gathering. Bring a change of clothes. That's all you got to do. Bring something to get wet in and bring a change of clothes. How did I say that? Did I say that not right? You may come what you're going to get wet in, and then you're going to change into your other set of clothes, or vice versa. We've got dressing rooms back here. You talk to the Lord about that this afternoon. Jay's not the only one who put it off 6, 8, 9 months and regretted every day of delay. Let's just get it right, drive the stake in, get it right. It doesn't mean you'll never sin. It doesn't mean you'll never struggle. It doesn't mean the devil will, you know, move to South America and leave you alone. It doesn't mean that. But it means that you have done in the natural what the Bible says is the right thing to do as an expression of what's happened in your spirit. Okay? And you say, as I said, I've been baptized before. The point is, were you baptized after the time that you really gave your heart to Jesus? And that's what can be cleared up this afternoon as you're before the Lord. If this was the day, feel like this was the time. And for some folks, it's a recommitment. It's a fresh surrender of my life to the Lord. God, I feel like I knew you, but I got away from you. And I'm coming home. And I mean it. I'm coming home. And I want to be baptized again as an expression of that. We don't do any forcing or trying to guilt people into stuff. This needs to be something that you choose. You show back up here this afternoon. We've already got about 30 people signed up to be baptized this evening. And there could be a whole bunch more as you hope there will be. Just bring a change of clothes. Bring a towel just to change of clothes. This evening. You look right here in my eyes. You are not crazy. You are not. Praise. And Lord, we're your sheep. We're not Alamo City's sheep. We're not a pastor's sheep. We're your sheep. And Lord, I ask you to shepherd your sheep this afternoon with the gentle prompting, the sense in their hearts of what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.